T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Final segment as we get ready for U.S. England and more tomorrow. There are some other games, but the big one in this country, ever since the draw came out, ever since the schedule got sorted, Black Friday, U.S. England, it's going to be insanity. A couple bits of World Cup news. Alireza Behrangvand, the goalkeeper for Iran, who had to leave their match against England early in the first half with a potential concussion. He will miss the match, thankfully, against Wales tomorrow. Carlos Quiroz, the manager of Iran, confirmed that due to the injury and, I guess, FIFA's concussion protocol, I don't know exactly what the concussion protocol is. It's FIFA, so make it up as you go along, I guess. He's not going to play tomorrow. He could be ready for the match against the United States next Tuesday. You never know with concussions, but it felt like Friday was going to be way too soon for him. It's not too soon for Romelu Lukaku to get back into the Belgium team, though. We were told he was going to miss the first two games, according to Roberto Martinez, before the tournament started. He's back training with the full squad, but Martinez, being cagey, he won't say whether he'll start in game two against Morocco. He's needed for Belgium because they did not look completely whole against Canada. Other games on Friday, it kicks off early, and this is a really important one for the U.S. and England. Wales, Iran at 5 a.m. Wales is a slight favorite, plus 115, according to FanDuel Sportsbook. Iran plus 280. The draw is plus 200. What do you think about this one, Jess?
I think the odds on that are probably skewed, quite frankly, because of the way Iran played against England and the scoreline against England. And as much as, yes, England were dominant, I think Iran had glimpses where they look really talented. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot of people writing them off right now because they just saw the scoreline. They saw the 6-2. They didn't necessarily watch the whole game. They turned off. They, you know, watched some highlights, and the highlights are obviously going to be English dominant. But I think Iran had moments. You saw it with the two goals. You saw it with the fight back. And I think Greg Garza put it best that once the goalkeeper was injured, their heads weren't really there. That emotional investment, that emotional component of the national anthem, of everything going back in their home country, had an impact. I'm wondering if now they may have settled. That game was maybe a wake-up call to them that they don't want to not be able to show what they can do on the pitch. And perhaps it's Wales that gets the brunt of the frustrations of the Iranians.
Yeah, and Eddie Taremi, he got a goal. He's dangerous. He got two goals. He's very dangerous, and he needs a little more help. I thought Golazadeh was also really good for Iran. If they can get Sardar Azmoun fit enough to start, Iran can cause Wales some problems. I was not all that impressed with Wales until they really truly went route one and gave the U.S. problems with that. I don't think Iran will struggle with that as much because they're going to sit back more. So I'm curious about that one. I think it could go either way. Qatar and Senegal is at 8 a.m. Qatar plus 500, according to FanDuel Sportsbook. Senegal minus 160. Big favorites in this one. Draw plus 270. Do you expect a better performance from Qatar in game two?
I think that they have to. I think that as a host nation, it can't get much worse in a lot of ways.
Fair enough.
They can't really offer anything or bring much to the table. And you're the host nation. You've got that fan advantage. The crowd packs out. You don't want to have been planning for this for 10 plus years and then go out and get beaten every single game.
They've got to put up a fight here, and I think this is the most likely game for them to get something out of. Senegal played the Netherlands well, but I think Ecuador is better than Senegal, and that's who Qatar will finish with. Still, though, I think Senegal takes care of business. It might take a minute for them to break through. It might not happen immediately for them. They are still really missing Sadio Mane. I thought Ismaïla Sarr was very good in game one, but they just need a little bit more, just a little bit more. The Netherlands and Ecuador, that's the 11 a.m. game. This is going to be a great match. I'm really looking forward to it. The Dutch are a big favorite, minus 140. Ecuador plus 430, draw plus 260. That Ecuador win number really jumps out to me. I really like this Ecuadorian team. I thought they played very, very well in game one. And I think they're a team that is built to kind of deal with what the Netherlands can throw at them. I think they're going to sit back, hit on the counter, and be very dangerous.
More underestimating, I feel like, of Ecuador. People are looking at the nation, they're looking at the names on the two different teams, and maybe just underestimating what they can do. It was a fairly complete performance. It was an exciting performance. The youth was fantastic. They've got that speed on the counter. And listen, the Netherlands got a win, but I wasn't blown away. Were you?
No, I was not. It took him a long time to break through. A little bit of magic from Frankie de Jong finding Cody Gakpo, who was their best player in that match. I didn't think Memphis Depay looked very good when he came on. Gakpo's going to have to do it again for them. And they're going to have to make a decision. Louis van Gaal's going to have to make a decision on Matthias de Ligt, because he was horrendous in that game. Just awful. If he starts again, he's going to make a mistake that costs the Netherlands. I think Ecuador will be able to punish him for it. Maybe this is a surprise. Maybe this is not a surprise. I don't know. The FanDuel Sportsbook, the biggest underdog of the day is the United States. A bigger underdog than Qatar against Senegal. +600.
I would be offended, Jason. That's pretty vile.
+600, the U.S. is in this one. 340 is the draw number. Minus 220, England is an overwhelming favorite against the United States.
I feel like that's quite disrespectful to the U.S., honestly. I mean, listen, England won 6-2, but I'm still, maybe it's because I'm trying to limit my expectation and try and keep myself calm and not come across as the overconfident English person, because I know Americans are probably fed up of English people disrespecting their soccer team and talking about football ignorantly. So I just find that quite shocking that they really think the US on the odds. That feels like a fairly good number, honestly. Maybe I'll bet against England.
Yeah, that's out of whack to me. Oh, it's funny, as I'm looking at it, literally as we're doing this, it just dropped. So maybe somebody out there listening is like, whoa, let me jump on that number real quick.
Before I get the 600.
It just dropped to 550. So maybe this is changing as the money is starting to come in worldwide in this game. FanDuel Sportsbook is where we get our numbers from. If you liked who scored the goal for the U.S. in game one, Timothy Weah, he's a plus 500 to score again in this one. He is not the number one goal scoring option for the U.S. in terms of the odds. And this maybe tells you a little bit about how some of the numbers have been going. Jesus Ferreira, who didn't play in game one, is the number one goal scoring option for the U.S. according to the odds at plus 330. Harry Kane, they expect him to score. He's a minus 120. Those numbers surprised me a little bit, because I feel like, and this is a tough game to get a read on, honestly, because if you're reading the English tabloids, it's no chance for the U.S. The odds would be even bigger than those. If you're listening to maybe the general U.S. public, it's maybe too optimistic. If you're listening to some of the U.S. punditry about it, I think it's generally negative. I think the U.S. can cause England some problems in this game. I really, truly do. Now, they've got to execute. And that's the more that I've looked back at the game against Wales, and I know people will get hung up on Greg Berhalter's tactics, and again, you get into agendas and narratives. I thought the tactics were good. I thought the lineup was good. I thought the play was good enough to win if the execution had been better. There were times where everything was set up the way it should be. The play was set up. the decision was made properly and the pass was either over hit or under hit, or the right option wasn't picked occasionally, or a bad touch, or a mistake like what happened with Walker Zimmerman. So I feel like the U.S., because here's the thing, I'll be curious to see what those numbers look like for England, Wales when we get to that point, because if you take that thought about the U.S. could have been better against Wales, because I've heard the same from the Welsh side, that like, oh, they could have won that match too. Okay, fine. I'll bet you that there is more respect for Wales against England than there is for the U.S. against England.
I think it's a cultural thing, unfortunately, and it's something that I work really hard to preach against as much as I can. You see on my social media all the time, because I have a big English following, I always try and be an advocate for the U.S. game. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in England that have that uneducated attitude when it comes to American soccer. They have a chip on their shoulder because of the use of the word soccer, stupid things like that. But unfortunately, it's the case. There's a lot of people that, listen, I'll be completely honest with you. When I moved here 10 years ago, I was a snob about it. I wasn't really very appreciative of MLS. I didn't understand it because I had never been exposed to it, whether it's time difference, whether it's access. And I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in England right now that turn a blind eye to American soccer and haven't seen the growth. Whereas in America, people are watching the European leagues, they're watching the qualifiers for Common Ball, for all the different areas. I think a lot of people in England are very one-trick ponies. They only focus on the Euro game, and that's why there's a level of respect for European oppositions versus the Americans. And as I said, I think the key word is hubris. I worry very much that this could be a pride before the fall moment, where there's a lot of English fans who are expecting this to be another walk in the park, another big demolition. If we face adversity in this game, it could become a tough one.
Couple things to keep in mind about this. The last time the U.S. beat England, and they haven't played a ton over the years, really, period, but especially in the last maybe 30 years. Last time U.S. beat England was U.S. Cup 1993. It was the summer tournament a year before the World Cup.
So never in my lifetime. Never in my lifetime.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. There has been a draw in a World Cup, though. We'll get to that in a second. But the U.S. 1993, 2-0 in U.S. Cup. The only other time the U.S. has beaten England ever, and I think it's out of like 10 or 11 games, again, not a ton, was the 1950 World Cup. The flip side of it's been a long time since the U.S. beat England is the U.S. has never lost to England at a World Cup. Two games, 1950, it was a win, shocking win heard around the world. And then the 1-1 draw in 2010, that was incredibly even. I think both teams are a lot better than they were in 2010. I think both teams are stronger. I think both teams are more well-rounded. I think it'll be a much better game, because that game ultimately really wasn't that good. It wasn't a good game. It's a horrible mistake that gives the U.S. their goal, and it's a 1-1. What's the most important thing in your mind for England to get the dub in this one?
Putting the game to bed if you get an opportunity early. I think that we look at Iran and how long it took to score the goal. And you know, for what, 30 minutes, you weren't able to break it down. I think trying to get on the score sheet early to settle any anxiety and to put it bluntly, and I'm sorry to say this, US fans, but to sort of kill the hope of the US. I think that if you're able to get a goal early, heads will drop. If you get a second goal, then the young and lack of leadership may start to have an impact on this U.S. side. Heads may drop and they may feel like the game's got away with them.
If you're the favorite, you can't let a smaller team grow bigger in the game. You can't let that confidence grow. You can't let them start to feel like they're in it. If you're the favorite, you have to have that mentality. I think the number one thing for England to win this game is to execute on their set pieces. I think England is the best team in the world on set pieces. They score in a variety of ways on set pieces. Kieran Trippier is one of the best in the world at his delivery or taking shots from free kicks. I think Harry Maguire is dangerous in these situations, as we saw against Iran. Harry Kane, obviously, but a number of different ways they can hurt you on set pieces. That's what the U.S. has to avoid. They can't give up the dangerous set pieces. They can't give up a lot of set pieces, period. But especially in the final third, they've got to be extremely, extremely careful. in my mind, the number one thing for the U.S. to do to get the dub in this one, which I don't think is a crazy thing, by the way. I don't think, again, those numbers to me are, I agree, disrespectful. I think they're out of whack. Can the U.S. win this game? Yes. I think some people laughed when Greg Berhalter and players said they feel like they can beat anybody. They have to perform at the right level to be able to do that. But this team should never go into a game and feel like they can't win. They're better than that. They can beat teams. Do they need a little help to do that? Do they need to be at their best? Absolutely they do. Welcome to the international game where only 8 countries have ever won the World Cup. I think for the U.S. to beat England in this game, it's going to take a performance worthy of what we've seen at times in U.S. men's national team history, you know, from a Landon Donovan, from a Clint Dempsey. You know, you want to go further back than that. I mean, you're looking at John Harkes, Tab Ramos, Eric Winalda. You need Christian Pulisic to have that kind of a day, because I think he's the player that England is going to fear the most when he's on the field. I think England's going to respect him the most. I mean, you don't get to Chelsea. You don't do the things that he's done at Chelsea. I know he plays inconsistently, but he has had big moments there. Mm-hmm. They are going to respect him. He's got to have that kind of a day where he becomes a household name in the United States with that kind of a performance, that kind of clutch performance. It's going to take that kind of individual performance, in my opinion.
See, for me, I'm thinking it's got to be a full 90-minute performance. I think that we saw against Wales, no good having a good first 45, no good going in 0-0 at halftime. How many matches in this World Cup have we seen go in at halftime 0-0? It seems like plenty. And I think that for the US, okay, it's great. You get to halftime 0-0, you've dominated the game, you've made England look average, great. But it's not going to count for anything if you can't do it in the second 45 minutes. So it's about consistency through the game and making sure you're able to perform to the same level throughout and not have the ebbs and the flows that maybe we saw in the opener.
I think the difference will be that they won't have control for 90, but I think they need to manage the ebbs a little bit, because they're going to have times where they can't control the game. England is just too good for that not to happen, but they've got to let those moments not be moments that punish them. We're going to talk about this tomorrow night. This is going to be a huge talking point. I think it's something that we'll honestly always remember, this kind of a game, because it's that big. This could be a huge turning point for soccer in this country. This could just be a really big game. We're going to find out tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock. If you're coming to the event at Wild Heaven, it is sold out. It's hit capacity. Their tickets were free, but it is full. If you're coming, remember to bring blankets and or winter coats to donate to the homeless. All of the Atlanta United supporters groups and the American Outlaws chapter here in Atlanta are partnering on the drive for blankets and winter coats. They're going to make the donation at the end of the tournament. Awesome initiative. Bring a blanket, bring a winter coat if you can to donate. We're live tomorrow night after the Hawks and Rockets, about 11 o'clock or so. Break down everything from U.S. England, the rest of Group B. We'll look ahead to a massive Argentina-Mexico game on Saturday where Argentina might be playing for their World Cup lives. Y'all have a great night. Happy Thanksgiving and adios, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.